Now we're holding on page Nun Vav in Sanhedrin, the fifth line, middle of Oris Kuf Chaf Hei. So the Gemara has been discussing the various kinds of the various cases where Novi is Chayev Chenek, because again the subject of this parak is people who are Chayev Chenek. So you have various cases where Misosin Bidei Adam, where a person gives Nevuah and then executed by Beis Din, such as somebody who gives a Nevuah that he didn't hear, and we have the example of Hanani ben Azar, and who gives Nevuah in the name of Avodah Zarah. So now, on the other hand, it's also said that there are three cases where Novi is chayev misa, but misa bidei shamayim. Here, it's not the misa is not given to him by Beis Din, but rather Hashem punishes him. So the first example is hakovesh es nevuasai. So one is a Novi who conceals his Nevuah. He's given a Nevuah, but he doesn't tell it over, and instead he doesn't want to tell it over to the people. So what would be an example of Yonah ben Amittai? So an example of that would be Yonah ben Amittai, the Novi Yonah. Hashem tells him go to Nineveh and give them my message, and instead he gets on a ship and runs away, and so he would have been chayev misa b'dei shamayim. Now the fact is he didn't get misa b'dei shamayim; he got thrown into the sea and swallowed by the fish. V'chola v'chola. So there's quite a lot of discussion why indeed he didn't get misa b'dei shamayim. So one point is there's a medrash that says the reason you have to ask also part of the question is also why would Yonah do such a thing in the first place? What was he thinking to go and run away from Hashem? So there's a medrash that says that Yonah was an example of someone who tova kvoida ben by tova kvoida av. He looked out for the honor of the son of Hashem, but not for the honor of the son, the Jewish people, but not the honor of the father Hashem. Meaning, as Medrash says, Yonah said to himself, the Goyim, when you come to them with a message that they need to do tshuva, or else, then they tend to be very receptive to it. Much more so than the Jews, for one thing, because we Jews have a stronger Yetzirah. Kalagodo mechavera, Yetzirah Menu, the greater a person, the greater his Yetzirah. And since that, and the Gemara mentions in that connection, this is the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Gemara mentions in that connection that the Yetzirah tends to ignore the Umas the Olam, because okay, he gets them to do bad, big deal. They're not the purpose of the world in the first place. Where and he goes and provokes Misgara b'Yisrael, and he goes and tries to get the Jewish people to do Avedas. So therefore, Yonah knew if he goes to Nineveh, this Goyish city, and he tells them this message from Hashem, they're going to be a lot more receptive to it. Now, there's two problems with that. First of all, it'll make the Jewish people look bad by comparison. Second of all, Yonah knew that the purpose of this, why is the Eibishter concerned about Nineveh more so than any other Goyish city of that time? Because Nineveh was the capital of Asher, which later on, a couple of decades later, Asher is the nation that went and conquered most of Eretz Yisrael and took the Aseret HaShevatim into Golos. So it had to be that they're relatively decent and that they themselves don't deserve to be destroyed right now in order for that to happen. And so Yonah didn't want that either. If he tells them to do tshuva, and they do, then it means now they're more fitted for their role of destroying the kingdom of the Aseret HaShevatim and taking most of the Jewish people into Golos, and he didn't want that. So therefore, that's why he ran away. So some Mephoshim point out that that's a reason maybe why he wasn't Chayim Misa B'dei Shamayim, a regular case where Novi, so that's one answer, a regular case where Novi conceals his Nevuah and suppresses his Nevuah and doesn't say it, then he's Chayim Misa B'dei Shamayim. But over here, since Yonah did have a valid reason for it, so the Eibishter had Rachmanos on him and didn't kill him, and instead had him go through the whole thing with being thrown into the sea and swallowed by the fish, etc., etc. Another way of looking at it, that Advaz has a couple of explanations about it. One of them is that Yonah had not been given a specific Nevuah yet. The first time, at the beginning of Sefer Yonah, at the beginning of Matthew Yonah, Hashem just tells him, go to Nineveh, and call out against it. He also rosam lefana, because their evil has ascended before me. So Hashem didn't give him a specific message yet, according to that one way of looking at it, to tell them. So therefore, Yonah figured there's no particular nevuah that I'm suppressing that there would be a problem for it. Another explanation that Advaz says is that he says that, listen, you know, the first time a Novi is given a shlichus by Hashem, he has the right to refuse it. We find Moshe Rabbeinu did, for example, when Hashem tells Moshe, you got to go take the Jewish people on Mitzrayim, then Moshe spends a week arguing with Hashem about it. Fine, in the end, Hashem got upset, but nevertheless, though, he had a right to do that because he hadn't been given the Nevuah yet. Once he's given, once he's already established as a Navi, then he has to do whatever, and then he has to follow and do whatever Hashem tells him. So therefore, the Radvaz argues, one way of looking at it is, this was Yonah's first Nevuah. And therefore, he had the right to refuse, and therefore, you can't say he'd be Chayav Mitzvah D'Shamayim for that. In fact, famously, the Rishalmi says that that Yonah first got his Nevuah by Simchas Beis HaSheva. He came for Simchas Beis HaSheva, and the Simcha over there gave him the ability to have Ruach HaKodesh, to have Nevuah. And then what do you have afterwards? The next thing is, he goes to the city of Yafo to board a ship to escape from Eretz Yisrael. Well, Yafo is the nearest port city to Yerushalayim, so therefore it makes sense. He had been in Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, and therefore he goes to that port. The point is, in other words, because there's other psukim that show that he himself was actually from the north of Eretz Yisrael. He was from Shevet Zvulun or one of the Shevatim in that area. The nearest port to there would be Haifa or Akko or something. Why is he going to Yafo? Because he had been in Yerushalayim. Anyway, the point is that, so that's another reason to say he shouldn't be Chayav Nisa. So you have that, and you have a variety of other explanations about it. So that's an example. So Yonah would be an example of a Kovish as Nevuah, so somebody who suppresses his Nevuah and doesn't say it. Habonah at the bottom of the page over here points out that, you know, it's a really serious thing. I mean, the Eibishter is giving him a Nevuah in order to tell the Jewish people and get them to do tshuva, and he's suppressing that and not telling them. So yeah, Godol Avonim and Esoi. It's a terrible Aveda for him to do, to avoid that. That's one example where a person is chayav, where a Navi would be chayav Nisa B'Dei Shemayim. Then you have v'hamavater al dvar Navi. Then you have where a person violates the word of a Navi. So what would be an example of that? Given chavre de Micha. So an example of that is the colleague of Micha. Micha, also known as Michoyu. So Micha, also known as Michoihu, you have the story as follows. In Malachim Aleph, in Perek Chof, it tells how Achav had gone to war against Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. Achav has a very small army, and B'derech HaTeva, they're not going to win. A Navi comes to Achav and tells him that you're going to win, and this way you'll see the Eibishter's power, which Achav was badly in need of that since he was an Ovid of a Dezorah. And sure enough, they beat them, and the Navi tells them next year this is going to happen again. They're going to come back to fight again. Make sure that Hashem is going to help you defeat them there as well, but make sure that you prepare yourself. Then at one point now the Navi comes over and tells him, this doesn't actually say in so many words in the Psukim, but we in the Chazal infer it from the way it says in the Psukim, that he told him, now in the second battle, you're actually going to capture Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. Don't have any rachmanos on him, kill him. Because otherwise he's going to keep on endangering the Jewish people. Well, Achav thought he was smarter, and when Ben-Hadad's men come to him and say Ben-Hadad is willing to surrender, then Achav says, he's my brother, he's my fellow king, and he goes and makes a whole peace treaty with him. That kind of mistake. I mean, you think of like the Israeli leadership many times in the last 8 decades, it's basically the same mistake. You know, you can make a deal with the terrorists. This same Navi, now the Pasuk doesn't name him over there, but Chazal tell us he's Michoihu. Later on he shows up in Perek Chof Beis, that's what you learned last time about Tzidki of Kanana and Michoihu that you had over there, that Tzidki of Kanana was together with 400 other Nevi'im, were all false Nevi'im, and then a true Navi came named Michoihu and said that Achav is going to be defeated in battle. That's later on. Meanwhile, here back in Perek Chof, it doesn't name him by name, but Chazal tell us it's the same one. Anyway, so now, after all of that, so after Achav has made this peace treaty with Ben-Hadad and let him go, so Michoihu, also known as Micha, so the Pasuk says, V'ish echad min b'nei ha-Nevi'im, one man from the b'nei ha-Nevi'im, from the Talmidim of the Nevi'im, which is this Micha, Omer al-Re'ehu, he says to his fellow Yid, or maybe even a fellow Navi, B'dvar Hashem ha-Keni Navagomer, by the word of Hashem, I'm telling you a Nevuah from Hashem, I want you to strike me, and the guy refused to. How do you strike a fellow Yid? And the pasuk continues. Micha tells him, Yana shelo shamaita v'gomer, because you didn't listen to a nevuah from Hashem, therefore you're going to be killed. And sure enough, the guy gets attacked by a lion and killed. The upshot of it was that Michoihu found somebody else to hit him so he'd appear wounded, and then he comes to Achav pretending like he'd been a soldier in the battle who was told he was given an enemy soldier to guard, and he accidentally let him escape. And now what? And Achav says, well, you're in big trouble. You have to be careful about those kinds of things in war. And now Michoihu tells him, I'm the Navi who told you before to not let Ben-Hadad go. You did the exact same thing. You were given a message from Hashem through me to not let the enemy go, and you did, and therefore you're going to be in trouble for that. So the point is that in that story, the Michoihu tells this first guy to hit him so that he can portray, so that he can convincingly play act a soldier who's been in the battle, and the guy refused to, so that's openly refusing a command from a Navi, and therefore for that he was chayav misa b'dei shamayim, and he was killed by a lion. Then you have the third one, the Navi Shavar al Divrei Atzmai. Then you have a Navi who, Marsha points out, by the way, that it must be the other guy, Taka, is a Navi, and therefore he knows that what Micha is telling him is a true Navur. If Micha were to go over to a random person and tell him to hit him, not necessarily would the guy be chayav, because he could say, I didn't know you were a Navi, so you'd have to give him an ois, you'd have to give him some kind of sign that he's a true Navi. On the other hand, Marsha points out, the Gemara is going to point out later on, you have an example that a person can be known to be a Navi because he really has a chazaka of being a Navi. And then you have to also listen to him no matter what. Then he doesn't have to give any kind of ois. So it was one of two things. So either this guy, the first guy that Micha approached, was either a fellow Navi, and when Micha tells him, B'dvar Hashem Akeni Na, then as the Gemara is going to point out soon, that the other Nevi'im also know what's said to the, that all the Nevi'im know what's said to an individual Navi, and therefore he would have known as a true Navor, or that not, but Micha was already Muchsek as a Navi. The Navi Sha'avar al-Divrei Atzmai, then you have the example of a Navi who violated his own words. Hashem gave him a Nevuah and with instructions, and he violated it. So that you have to bring Idoi HaNavi. So an example of that is Idoi HaNavi. Again, the Pasuk doesn't name him by name over there, but his name is mentioned in Divrei HaYomim. So like this. You have, after Yeravam and Nevat and Aseret HaShevatim seceded and set up their own kingdom, and then Yeravam set up the Egla HaZav. We're going to talk about it in great detail in the next parak. So now at one point, when Yeravam is standing over there on the Mizbeach, bringing his Korbanos in front of the Egla HaZav, then a Navi comes over and tells him a Nevuah that hundreds of years from now, there's going to be a king from Beis David named Yeshayahu, who's going to break down all of these Mizbeches and take the bones of the people who offered on them and burn them on the Mizbeches. And then he tells him, right now you're going to see that you're not going to have to wait, nobody's going to have to wait hundreds of years to see this Nevuah come true. Right now, this Mizbeach that you're standing on is going to break open and all the ashes on it will spill off. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So Yeravam tries to hit the Navi, his hand freezes, and he has to ask the Navi to daven to the Eivishter to let his hand go back to normal. Anyway, so now Yeravam says to this Navi, and again, the Pasuk doesn't name him by name, but Chazal tell us that his name was Idoi. So Yeravam tells him, come, I'm very impressed, come with me to my palace, I want to serve you some food. And the Navi says, absolutely not. I was given a message by Hashem that I'm not allowed to eat or drink anything here in town, in Beis El. I'm not even to return home by the same route that I came here into town. I have to leave by a different route. Now, then the Psukim go on to tell that there was an old Navi living in Beis El, a false Navi. Now, based on what we're saying over here, apparently at one point he had been a true Navi, and therefore Idoi was misled by him. With that said, Chazal have a different explanation, that this is actually, we learned from Baba Basra about the grandson of Moshe, who was the priest of Pesel Micha, different Micha than we were talking about over here, and the Medrash has an opinion that that is this false Navi, that is this false Navi over here. So he lived a long time. Anyway, so this false Navi decides he wants to have a mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. A Navi came to town, and I'm not going to give him food. So he goes and finds him and tells him, and he tells him, I want you to come home with me. I want to invite you in. And again, Ido tells him, I can't. And then this false Navi tells him, I'm also a Navi. I have a Nevuah from Hashem that you should come with me. And Ido bought it. He didn't realize that this was a false Nevuah. And the Malbim has a whole explanation over there that the guy was telling him, like, loopholes in your Nevuah, whatever, he's making excuses and making loopholes over there. So the Pasuk says, Dichtiv, so the Pasuk says, Kichen Sivoi, see, Ido, he says to this false Navi, who he know is false, Hashem has commanded me not to eat and drink anything here in the city. Uchtiv, Vayomele Gamani Navi Kamoicha, but the old Navi tells him, I'm also a Navi like you. And sure enough, Idoi buys into the story and comes home and eats with him. And the pasuk says he sat with him and ate and drank, and then all of a sudden he gets a nevuah, actually through this false Navi. All of a sudden this false Navi became for a moment a true Navi again. We'll learn about that, and then we'll learn about that in Perek Chelek, how such a thing is possible. How does a false Navi get a true nevuah from Hashem? But anyway, he tells Idoi, because you disobeyed what Hashem says, therefore, again, you're going to die on the way. You're not going to get home safely. And sure enough, when he left, and again, he also was attacked by a lion and killed. So that was
because he was muhzak, not anymore.
Muhzak or whatever, that Edo knew him from before, apparently maybe as a true Navi. Yeah, and he didn't realize that he had gone bad. When we learned when you learned on Thursday about Hananiah ben Azur in Yirmiyah's times, the Gemara is gonna explain later on that he also started out as a true Navi and then went bad. Unfortunately, it can happen. Anyway, so we see. So Idir is an example of a Navi who disobeyed his own Nevuah, and therefore he's punished for that. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tony Tana Kameh de Rav Chista, a Tana taught a Braisa in front of Rav Chista that says, Akoyvishas Nevuah se loike, that if a Navi conceals his Nevuah and doesn't say it, then he gets Malkus. So before we said he's Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim, but now this Tana is teaching a Braisa that says that the person gets Malkus. Omalei, so Rav Chista tells him with a figure of speech, Manda ochel tamri ba'arbeila loki. If a person eats dates out of a sieve, does he get malchus? That's an example. It's a Gemara expression for somebody who does something that there's nothing wrong with it at all. And why should he get malchus for it? The Gemara uses a similar expression in Makkos.
There is no ethane that there is nothing that he did actually.
Well, that's the point. Well, so actually, sort of Chista has a different point. Never mind that there's no esther. A better question is man master there. Who's supposed to give masra? Who else would know that he had a nevuah that now they can give masra that he should get malchus? This expression that we're saying, if a person eats dates from a sieve, the Aruch gives an explanation about it. Very often, yeah, people would keep dates in a sieve for convenience's sake. But once they put them in there, generally speaking, they would have already been had truma and maaser taken out of them. So imagine somebody has a sieve full of dates, and he takes some and eats them. He might well be eating tevel. He may not have taken truma and maaser from it. But how would anybody else know? Anybody who sees the dates there is going to assume that they were maaser. So the same way, in other words, like when he's not saying anything, how's anybody supposed to know? If he's not saying anything, that they should warn him to give him malchus. Amar Abaye, chavrei neviyim. So Abaye says his fellow neviyim will tell him. We'll give him asra. Question is minoyadi. How do the other neviyim know that he was given a nevuah? Amar Abaye just did, because the pasuk says, Ki lo yasa Hashem alekim dover, Hashem will not do anything, ki im golos soidei, unless he reveals a secret, and the pasuk continues, El avod dov ha-neviim, to his servants, the neviim, in plural. So in other words, Hashem will broadcast it, like there'll be like a Navi radio channel, or a Navi WhatsApp group, or whatever. Everybody will know that somebody got a particular message, so they won't necessarily know the specific nevuah that he got. But they'll know that there was a nevuah that was given to him. Or maybe even they will know the content of it. But it'll be given. This message is addressed to Pliny. You are to go and give this nevuah. But everybody else knows that he was given it. So now they can give him malchus. So the question is, Aduma Hadri Bey, okay, but maybe then Hashem changed, so to speak, changed his mind. And Tamal Yishamayla, Rashi says, maybe Hashem Nicham Ala Ra, maybe it was a nevuah for something bad that's going to happen, and Hashem is Rachmanus, and he can, so to speak, change his mind for one reason or another. So again, how can they give him Asura? So fine, the message was put up on the WhatsApp, but then it was deleted, so how do you give him Asura? And the answer is the same thing. He missed the Hadri. They do have a more delicate Navi. Again, if it was deleted, then it would be deleted for everybody. Everybody would know that it was taken, that it was withdrawn, and therefore they know not to give him Asra if he's not saying it.
Could be also a personal message to him, not about something to be disclosed to him.
Well, that's Bechlal. But Amnon points out that a Navi doesn't always get a Nevuah that's meant for everybody else. It's true. Sometimes a Navi can get a Nevuah which is meant for him himself to deepen his knowledge of a Lakos, for example. Fine, we're not talking about that. Obviously, he's Kovish Nevuasai of that, and that's not a problem. He wasn't given it to begin with to tell over. But we're talking about when he's given it over and told, you have to tell it, then he has to tell it, and it's not he's Kovish Nevuasai.
He is a very, 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 very desirable name in Israel.
And then, yeah, that's what he does. Because he was a Navi, after all. He was. Okay, I don't know why they... Right, I have no idea why Yidro is such a popular name. I don't know. Names also go in and out of fashion.
Or maybe it's some kind of...
I don't know. Names go in and out of fashion, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
You know what? In the times of the Gemara, we find exactly one person named Moshe. Even though nowadays it's a very common name. So names go in and out of fashion. Sometimes you have a name which used to be, you know, think of how many Amiroyim are named Abba. You have the name Abba. Nowadays it's a name, but it's not quite as common as it was then. And you have many other names that are used somewhat commonly in the Gemara and are rare if at all nowadays. Things come and go, yeah. So the question is, what about, though, with Yonah? His nevuah was retracted, and he himself wasn't informed. What happened? You have in Yonah Perek Daled. He's sitting over there and waiting to see what's going to happen. Is Nineveh going to be overturned? And he builds himself a sukkah, and the Nevish makes him his kikoyan, and then he's very disappointed to see that nothing happens. So he himself wasn't even informed that the Gzeira had been withdrawn. What do you mean the other Nevi'im are being informed? The answer is Yonah me'ikra ninve ne'pachas amrulei. The answer is, let's look carefully at the lashon that Yonah was told. He was told, b'ruach hakodesh, Ninve will be overturned. Now, overturned can mean two things. It can mean physically overturned, like Sodom, or it can mean overturned beruchnius, as in they're overturned. They used to be a place of rishus, and now they become a place of tzidkus and mitzvahs. So they're going to turn over their deeds. Iu lo yada, iu lo toive, iu lo ra. Yonah himself didn't know whether it means for good or for bad. So he thought that it means for raw. He thought it means the city is actually going to be physically turned over like Sodom. He didn't realize that it has another meaning in it as well, that it means that it can be for good, that it can be overturned for good. In other words, Marshall says, he himself didn't know. Are they going to do tshuva? So Marshall explains a little differently. Not so much that Yonah thought that there's only one meaning of it. Yonah was aware that napachas can have two meanings, but he himself was waiting to see, are they truly going to stick to their tshuva?
Which
napachas will it be, basically, right? In fact, by the way, Midrashim say that Taka didn't last that long term. Within the Medrash says, I think, within 40 years after that, the Navi Nachum, another one of the Tirei Aser, gives a whole harsh nevuah about it, Nineveh, about how corrupt and everything it is, and how they're going to be completely destroyed, and sure enough, they were. They were conquered by Poras Amada, and that was the end of them. But in between, they had that period, they had that short period when they paid attention to what Yonah said. So Yonah thought that it might be even more short-term than that, So in any case, the point is, Marashah says, so the vote would be. So the other Nevi'im then would have had to tell him. They would have had to tell him that you know what? You were told to say Ninve Ne'pachas, so you better say it. So now, in the end, he had to go through the whole thing with the being thrown in the water and the fish and so on and so forth. And then he finally goes and actually announces it, and they pay attention to him. Next. Hamavata al-divrei Novi minyo yoda di'anash. So now, as far as the case, when a person disobeys the word of a Navi, like the friend of Micha that we said before, Mino Yoda, how is he supposed to know that this is a Navi Emes, D'Anish, that he should deserve punishment? He might think it's a Navi Sheker. So the answer is, like we said before, D'Yarv Lay Ois, either because the true Navi gives him an Ois. Gives him a sign that he is a true Navi, and as we know, the Rambam explains, the nature of that sign is he tells him something that's going to happen, and it comes true in 100% absolute true detail, and then we know that he's a true Navi. So the question is, but in that story of Micha, the Micha just goes over to the other guy and tells him, and the guy refused to, and Micha right away tells him, because you disobeyed Hashem, you're going to get killed by a lion. So there was no Ois over there. And the answer is Hechad the Muchsak Shiny. The answer is where the Navi is already Muchsak, then it's different. Micha was already known to be a Navi, and therefore now the guy is obligated to listen to him no matter what. So this is what Maharshal was pointing out before, that again, either we could say that the other guy himself was a Navi, and therefore would have actually known that this was a true Nevuah that was given to Micha, or we could say that he was a regular guy, and again, since Micha is Muchsak as a Navi, then that guy was supposed to know that, and now he has no business disobeying him. And the Gemara points out, after all, if you're not going to say that, if you're going to say that every time a Navi has to give an Ois before you're going to believe him, then when it comes to Avram taking Yitzchak to the Hara Maria for the Akedah, Avram doesn't give any Ois to Yitzchak that he's a true Navi. How is Yitzchak supposed to trust what Avram is saying and go along with it to be shechted? And with Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, how when he's going and bringing korbanos on Har HaKarmel, which is which is nowhere near the Beis HaMikdash, and it's over 100 years after the first Beis HaMikdash is built, how could anybody follow him also and shecht korbanos outside the Azara? Okay, he himself maybe shechts it, but fine, they're helping him prepare it, and well, how would they be able to do that? And again, Eliyahu doesn't give any oath there beforehand. Afterwards, he called down the fire in Hashemayim, but by that time, the korban had already been shechted and was placed on the mizbeach. So the answer is, where a Novi has a chazaka, then it's different, then you have to listen to him by virtue of that chazaka. So therefore, so Avram was already muchzak as a Novi, so was Eliyahu, and therefore Yitzchak and the rest of the Jewish people had to listen to him. Page Nun Vav in Sanhedrin. Interesting point that's made in this connection, actually. I think it's from Shlomo Shingel Farah Hirsch, but I don't remember. He says one thing you have, one of the many, many lessons and many things we learn from the Akedah, and now the Gemara is going to go through parts of the story over here, but one thing we learn about it is taka about amunas chachamim, about following and trusting the chachamim that they're giving over to us the Eibishter's word correctly, as Torah Shebaal Peh. The whole Torah Shebaal Peh is based on that we trust the chachamim are faithfully transmitting to us what the Eibishter wants. And the beginning of it, the Nesinas Koyach for that, is when Yitzchak listens to Avraham, where for him, after all, Avraham had heard it directly from the Eibishter. For him, it's like Torah Shebaal Sad. But Yitzchak didn't hear it from Hashem. For him, it's Torah Shebaal Peh, and he still followed it. So that's the Nesinas Koyach for following Torah Shebaal Peh throughout all the generations. So now let's get into the story of the Akedah. The person says, it was after these things, Avraham, that Hashem tested Avraham. This coming week's Pirkei Avos, we're going to have Asor and Nisir, Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. Most of the Midrashim and most of the Mephoshim, by the way, understand that the Akedah is the 10th one of those Nisyonis. There are actually Rabbeinu Yonah and a couple of others learn actually that was the 9th one. They learn that having to bury Sarah, having to buy in the Eretz Machpelah at a huge price when Hashem had already promised to marry the whole Eretz Yisrael, it's according to them is considered the 10th Nisyon. So Vayhi Achar Avraham Eila, by the King Nisyas Avraham, so, achar mai, when it says after, means after what? What happened before that? Now you have an expression that Chazal say that whenever it says that something is achar or something else, then it means shortly afterwards. And if it says acharei, then it means a long time later, although there's an opinion in the Medrash that says the other way around. So now Ma'ashah brings from Mizrahi on the Pasuk that, now you have right before that in the Pesukim, you have the whole thing between Avraham and Abimelech and then giving him 7 sheep and so forth. So on the face of it, Achad Vorem Eila would be right after that. However, the Mizrahi points out it wasn't, because that treaty that he made with that, Rashi makes the whole calculation over there on the Pasuk, by Yogur Avraham, Beretz Plishtim, Yavim Rabim, Rashi makes a whole calculation that Avraham lived in that area of Eretz Plishtim for 26 years. He moved there right around the time Sidon was destroyed, and he stayed there until Yitzchak was 25, 26 years old. Then he moved back to Hebron. Hebron is not in Plishti territory. Be'er Sheva is. So when did he make the peace treaty with Abimelech? Sometime during that period. So from then until the Akedah, as many years, as 12 years, so you can't really say that just means Somuch after that. The fact is, though, there are actually different opinions about it. There are different. The mainstream opinion that we're all familiar with is that Yitzchak was 37 at the time of the Akedah, and then as a result of the Akedah, Sarah passed away, and it comes out the calculation that Rashi says that it was 12 years after Avraham moved back to Hebron, and only then happened the Akedah. There is a different opinion. Tosfos mentions it in Tosfos in Yevamos that mentions it based on a Sifri, and there's a couple of other sources for it that actually the Akedah did happen at that time, right around the time that Avraham moved from Be'er Sheva to Hebron, which would explain why you have a Yeshiv Avraham Be'er Sheva after the Akedah. According to the more widespread understanding, it would mean that Avraham stopped in for a while at Be'er Sheva and eventually returned to Hebron. The Ramban talks about it on the Pesukim, and a number of other Mephoshim talk about it. Anyway, so that's one thing. However, Marashah says the fact is that it has to be that Achar Advarim Ha'ela suggests as a result of something else that happened before. So fine, you want to say it was years later, it still has to be. There still has to be a cause and effect relationship. There doesn't seem to be a cause and effect relationship between the thing with Abimelech and the Akedah. Now, there is actually a Medrash that does make a connection between them. There is a Medrash that actually makes a connection because Avraham gave these 7 sheep to Abimelech and swore to him and therefore made it that now parts of Eretz Yisrael are off limits to the Jewish people. Therefore, the Eivishka now put him through this hardship of testing him. But the Gemara doesn't want that. The Gemara assumes that the Nisayan of the Akedah is like all the other Nisayan, is to make Avraham greater, not as a penalty for something that he had done wrong. So, Achamai. Amr Abyechen, Mishum Rabyesim and Zimra, Achar Dvarav Shal Satan. It means after what the Sultan said. What happened? The Pasuk says that Yitzchok was born and then he was weaned. The Pasuk says Vayigomal. There's actually a few different explanations what Vayigomal means. Pasuk Pshat means he was weaned. In those times, a baby would usually nurse until about 2 years old. So it means when he was weaned and now he's 2 years old, he's now reached a new stage in life. Then Abraham made a Mishka Gadol. Different other explanations. There's a Tosfos in Shabbos that brings that it was actually on the day of Yitzchok's Bris. B'yom Hi Gomel stands for B'yom He Gimel Mol. On the 5 plus 3, which is the 8th day, Abraham mauled him, and then he made this Mishka Gadol. So that's another opinion. And then the Medrash brings an opinion that B'yom Hi Gomel as Yitzchak is actually on the day that Yitzchak's Bar Mitzvah, the day that he was weaned from his Yetzirah. Because only by a person's Bar or Bas Mitzvah is when the Nefesh El Kis and the Yetzirah completely comes in. So Vayigomel, according to that, would be he was Nigmal, he was weaned from the Yetzirah.
All the ladies that have weaned their...
That's something, yeah, it actually brings about the babies nursing and all that. That would follow the opinion that it was either Yitzchok's bris or Yitzchok's weaning. Yeah. So now, almost Sutton Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now Sutton accuses Avram to the Eivishter. He says, Ribono Shel Olam, Zoken Zechanan Te Lamei Hashana Pribetan. This old man, you gave him as a favor, you gave him a child at 100 years old. Because Suda Shasa, and out of this entire Suda that he made, and he invited kings and princes and all the VIPs, he couldn't set aside one turtle dove or one regular dove, one small bird, even at least the korban of a poor person, to offer before you. So this is the Sultan accusing Abraham and saying that Abraham is honored all these people, but he's not, but he didn't honor you. So in other words, now Maharshal explains, now it's not necessarily right afterwards. The fact is, whenever we say this party was, whether it was when Yitzchok was when it was Yitzchok's bris, or when it was 2, or when he was 13, you still have it's years from then until the Akedah. The point is, though, that at least we have there's a cause and effect there. You can talk about, fine, you can try to figure out why the Sutton waited all that time to do the Kitrug, but nevertheless, you can still say as a result of that Kitrug came the Akedah. That the Eivishter wants to show the Sutton that he doesn't know what he's talking about. There are actually Mephoshim who explain that first of all, the Rif does bring over here that it did have to do tackle with that business with the 7 sheep with Abimelech. So in other words, the Sutton was waiting and biding his time all this time. Now when he gives the sheep to Abimelech, now the Sutton has an excuse. Wait a minute, he gave sheep to Abimelech, but he couldn't be bothered to give a bird to you. So therefore, he had room for a kitrum. There's another explanation that the Sultan figured if Hashem gives Abraham the Nisayon of the Akedah when Yitzchak is little, big deal. He'll pick up Yitzchak and he'll take him there and then it's not going to be very hard for Yitzchak. He's not going to be able to know. He's not going to know any better. If we wait until Yitzchak is older and then we'll see that the Eivishter will test Abraham. Is Yitzchak going to be willing to go along with it? So then the Sultan has room to be mekatrig over there. Mind you, there are different opinions again about how old Yitzchak was at the Akedah. You have that opinion that he was 37. You have an opinion again based on Seder Olam and some other sources that he was 26. You even have the Eben Ezra says he was close to 13, and you even have Seder Adurus brings an opinion that Taka he was as little as 2. Seder Adurus brings an opinion that if it was right after the weaning party, and right then the Sultan was Makadrig, then it would mean, according to him, that maybe Yitzchak was Taka only 2 years old. And he brings other opinions, 5 or 8, where he gets those from, I don't remember. So this is the Sultan's Kitrug. Amalei, so Hashem says, Klum Asa El B'Shvil B'Noi. But you know what? Why did Abraham B'Chlal make this whole party? Is because of his son, and to celebrate the birth and the weaning or whatever of his son. You want to know how important I am to him compared even more than his son. Imani Omalei Zvachas Bin Chalafanai. If I were to tell him now, Shecht your son in front of me, Miyad Zoichle, then yes, he would go ahead right away and Shecht him. So therefore, don't think that Abraham was too cheap to bring a korban or something like that. Now, Taka, what was Avraham thinking that he didn't bring a korban? Then Yoyada explains, Avraham took the view of it. Look, the whole point to have Yitzchak, it wasn't like Avraham just stamped like every married couple wants to have children. He wanted a child in order to be able to continue, and in order to, that his Avodas Hashem should continue, and there should be a Jewish people. So he figured, if he brings a korban, then that will amount to saying that it's a personal Haidah of his, and not just something purely L'Shem Shemayim, so therefore he figured not to bring a korban, but meanwhile now the Sultan used that as an excuse. But the Abishah tells the Sultan, you don't know what you're talking about. Never mind birds, Avraham would give up his own son for this purpose. So Miyad, brother, Kim Nisseth Avraham, so right away, Hashem tested Avraham. By Yomer, he says, Kachna as Bincha, he says, please take your child. So what's this please? Omer of Shimon ben Abba, Bar Abba, Ein no el loshen bakosha. The word no is a lotion of pleading. Hashem is, so to speak, asking and pleading with Hashem, pleading with Avraham to do it. Why? Moshe Melach Basav Adam Shomdu Al Melchomes Harbe. So it's like a human king where he was beset by many battles. He had to deal with many battles over and over. For here, like Gibor Echad, he had one particular mighty general, the Nitzchon, and every time he beat the enemies and won the war. The Yomim, Amdalim, Melchama Chazaka. Now all of a sudden there comes a really hard battle. Amalei, so the king asks the general, please, I beg of you, stand up for me in this battle and win it also. Shalom Yomu, Shonis, and Behemamish, so people shouldn't think the other ones were unimportant. Afakarish Boko, Amal Avram. So in the Nimshal, Hashem tells Avram, Nisisicha Bakamanisio, Nisva Mabdabakulon, I tested you with many tests, 8 or 9 so far, and you passed all of them. Akshav, Amodli Minisoyim Zeh, but now go and pass this test also, Shalom Yomu, Ein Mamash Bereshonim, so people won't say the other ones are unimportant. So of course, you know, the Nimshal is that the battle is against the Sultan, and then the Gibber, of course, is Avram, Ezeru Gibber, Akobish of Yitzray. Moshe brings a couple of things in this connection from the Mizrahi. Why does Hashem have to tell him? Why does Hashem have to tell him as Bincha, as Yechidcha? Well, actually, the Gemara itself is going to talk about that soon. So we'll learn that actually tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But why is it? Why would they say in Mamash B'Rishonim? I mean, Avraham has already passed 8 or 9 tests. Why would anybody think in Mamash B'Rishonim? So there's a very well-known, famous explanation that up until now, the tests of Avraham were all they didn't go against his Midas HaChesed. They fit very nicely with his Midas HaChesed. Now all of a sudden he's being told to do Gvura, an ultimate thing of Gvura, and therefore if he doesn't pass it, then people are going to think, Ein Mamash B'Rishonim, fine, the other ones he did because they has an actual affinity for them. Why? But he didn't do this one because it goes against his Teva. So therefore it was important for him to do that. That Rebbe points out in a sicha, in addition, another point as well. I mean, Avraham himself had gone on Mesiras Nefesh, according to most of the enumerations of the Asara Nisyonis. According to most of them, the first one is being thrown into the fire in Ur Kasdim. The Rambam, Taka, doesn't list that one. The Rambam lists only ones that are said explicitly in the Pesukim, and Ur Kasdim doesn't say explicitly in the Pasuk. So most of the other Midrashim and Mefarshim do count it. But still, the point is, though,
Sending away Hagar,
okay, you know, but it's fine. It's for the sake, or at least it's for the sake of Yitzchak. So you can say it's a gvura to them, but it's a chesed for Yitzchak, as opposed to here, Yitzchak himself is going to be killed. So the vort is, though, that Rebbe points out, that even all of those ones, you could say that at least there's a certain tam badas to them. Even being thrown into the fire in Ur Kasdim, fine, it'll be a big public spectacle that a person needs to go on Mesiras Nefesh rather than bow down to Avodah Zarah. But over here, the whole thing is in private. Nobody is there on that mountain except Avraham and Yitzchak, even Eliezer and Ishmael, Shvulacham Pari Machamar. So literally, it's going to be something where nobody else is going to see. And you would think, and it's completely the Ma'ilim Itam Badas, and yet Avraham did it. So Hashem tells Avraham, you need to pass this one, Shalom Yomu, in Mamash B'Rishonim, because otherwise people are going to think that Mesiras Nefesh is okay. When there's a Tam Badas, then you go on Mesiras Nefesh. So, you know, that Rebbe points out, in Lahabdil and different other religions, they also have their martyrs and whatnot, but the difference is, by them it's not Ma'ilim Itam Badas. By them there's a logical basis behind it. They want to be remembered as a saint, or they want to show everybody the importance of their religion or what have you. But here, You had to have that. It would be not even any of that. It would be in private on that mountaintop over there, and still Avraham and Yitzchak are going to do it. So that's why this is much greater. And without that in Mamash B'Rishonim, the other ones shrink a great deal in importance. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow learning more about the more about the Arcade Division. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. It's today Yom Tes Menachemov. A Yid might argue. I'm a limited person. I have the limitations of Teva Olam, and after all, the limitations of Teva Olam cause that because of that, for much of the day, a person is busy with Inyanei Rishus, with Divrei Rishus, and the Torah grants him license to do that. A person has to eat, a person has to drink, a person has to sleep. And Bizman Agolos, you have even more, you have all kinds of limitations and obstacles and all kinds of things that conceal Avodas Hashem B'Shleimus, etc. So now a person might argue then a person doesn't have the koyach to even do a small, any more small avoda. My time is completely taken up. So Allah has come v'kama, how do I have the power to bring the gula Avodas Hashleimu? This is from the Sikha of Shmini Tavshin and Aleph, right before Chavches Nissen. So the Rebbe explains it. We tell him, no, Bias HaMashiach, the Mashiach coming, depends on Maaseinu V'Avodaseinu throughout the time of Golus Davka. Well then, if the Gula hasn't come yet, then that itself demonstrates that it depends on Maaseinu V'Avodaseinu of our generation. And in other words, the point is that a person needs to take a carve-out time of his day for that, even as much as he's busy with all the other things. The famous expression has it, you know, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. So when you have taka, so I guess that's the idea over here that I've been saying. If you taka are busy with things that are required and allowed, I'll be told, then that itself means you're a capable person and you have what to do in this regard. Okay. Continuing with halachas of tefillin. So we were talking about learning about that you're not supposed to talk between Shoyad and Shorosh, and if you do, you have to make a separate bracha. Unless you talk about things that are needed for Anachas Tefillin, but Lachatzchila, you're not supposed to talk between Shoyad and between the bracha of the Tefillin Shoyad and putting on the Tefillin Shorosh, even regarding things that are necessary for putting on the Tefillin, unless it really is otherwise impossible. Even in fact, just to wink with your eyes or point with your fingers and make gestures and signals like that, even that is not allowed between Shoyad and Shorosh. So nevertheless, the implication though, Ktzos HaShulchan says that you wouldn't need to make a second bracha if you just made a gesture with your eyes or your hand or whatever. Obviously, Allah's kind of a comma that you shouldn't be saying nu or something like that between them. Okay. What happens if a person hears Kaddish or Baruch Hu or Kedusha between Shoyad and Shorosh? Don't interrupt in order to answer with the tzibur. Just be quiet. What? Between Shoyad and Shorosh, if you hear Kaddish or Kedusha or Baruch Hu, the Rebbe is saying, don't interrupt. Just listen quietly and have kavana to what the tzibur is saying. Just like in the middle of Shemana Esrei, the Alter Rebbe explains over there that Shemaya Ka'ona, you have the concept Shemaya Ka'ona, you hear something even though you're not able to answer. It's the equivalent of answering. Well, then that's what he does over here. So then he should do that, and that way again he's frustrating that he won't have to make the second bracha on the tefillin. If he did interrupt, then indeed it is a hefsek, and now he's going to have to make those brachas on the shorosh. Or the Alter Rebbe had given two different opinions whether in a case like that you say both brachas on the shorosh. Or just the one, the Alter Rebbe and the Siddur writes, in a case like that, you would only make the one bracha al mitzvah tefillin. In any case, actually, so this is how the Alter Rebbe says it here in Shulchan Aruch. In Siddur, though, the Alter Rebbe says differently. It is true that interrupting for Kaddish, Kedusha, or Baruch Hu between Shoyad and Shorosh requires you to make another bracha, but unlike what he's saying over here in Shulchan Aruch, that therefore you shouldn't do it, and instead you should rely on Shemei Koina. Instead, in Piskei Siddur, the Alter Rebbe says that you should, that you should indeed answer and then make that second bracha. And the idea is, because again, as we learned earlier in the Siman, there are posts who hold that anyway, you always have to make that second bracha, and therefore that would be the way to do it. And in fact, there's an Igeris where the Rebbe points out that it means that not just you would be allowed to, but you would have to. So in other words, in short, according to the Maskana, it would mean, in other words, that if you hear one of those things between Shoyad and Shorosh, then you do actually have to interrupt and answer, and then you're going to make the second bracha. But better to avoid that in the first place, and just don't time it so you're not putting on tefillin when one of those things is about to come up. Okay, more on this topic. You're not allowed to interrupt between Shoyad and Shorosh, even when it's not going to cause an extra bracha. For example, those who put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and they don't say a bracha. Or on Minig, that we put on a Brinat Hametz tefillin, you also don't say a bracha. Nevertheless, you still have to have Shoyad and Shorosh together without any talking in between, because V'hoyu l'chol ha'osa yodchol l'zikorin ben enecha. Now, there's no V'hoyu l'zikorin ben enecha. Both of them are considered one V'hoya. They're both considered one doing. And you have, therefore, you have to do them one after the other without a hesed. But there, when it comes to Rabbeinu Tam's, for example, there you would have to answer Kaddish, Kedusha, Bochu, Omen on most brachas between Shoyad and Shorosh when it comes to Rabbeinu Tam, or again, for those who put on Tefillin on Chalamoyed, because it's not causing an extra bracha. In other words, when it comes to Rashi Tefillin and you're making an extra bracha, then you have, without the Rebbe saying in Shulchan Aruch over here, better to not do it and rely on Shemei Koine. But when it comes to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't even have that issue. Therefore, you definitely should answer because there's no, you're not causing a bracha shein etzricha in the first place. Okay.